Escape to the exotic beauty of Morocco with our exclusive small group tours. Experience intimate group sizes that ensure personalized attention and unforgettable adventures. From the enchanting streets of Marrakech to the serene beauty of the Sahara Desert. Forge friendships that last a lifetime while immersing yourself in Morocco's rich culture, vibrant traditions, and warm hospitality. Book your small group tour with Destination Morocco today. Experience the intimacy of a private tour at an affordable price. Go to our website, destinationsmorocco.com, that's destinations with an S, morocco.com, and reserve your spot today. Welcome to the Destination Morocco podcast, the show that takes you away to the beautiful country of Morocco. I am your host, Azzedine El-Mustakim. In each episode, we explore Moroccan culture, history, attractions, and activities. Real and practical information coming from experienced travelers and native Moroccans like myself. And now, let's go exploring. Marrakech is perhaps the most popular destination in Morocco, the place that's at the top of most travelers' list of what they want to do and they wanted to see and visit. We see that in our numbers alone, our most popular episodes have been the ones that describe Marrakech, including the highlights of Marrakech from February 2022 and activities and advice for travel in and around Marrakech from April 2023. You can find these episodes and more when you visit Destination Morocco podcast at destinationsmorocco.com and find the player on the podcast page or, of course, in your favorite podcast listening app. We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, iHeart, and more. On today's episode, our local guide, Yusuf, takes us through a district full of famous historic sites, starting with the Melah, the historic Jewish quarter dating back hundreds of years. The Melah reflects Morocco's important heritage of integration and cooperation amongst different religions and ethnicities. It is bordered on one side by the ruins of the Bedia Palace, built back in the 1500s, and nowadays a beautiful garden, and on the other by the famous Behia Palace. One of the foremost attractions in Marrakech, and with Yusuf we visit both. Yusuf explains why and how the palaces were built, why the Bedia Palace was not abandoned, but rather deconstructed, how people lived and went about their daily lives in the palaces, and what there is to see today. Learn how Moroccan stucco plaster is made and transformed into beautiful motifs, and come along as we step inside the rooms where the sultans, their wives, and servants once lived. Yusuf points out Marrakech's highlights and historic tidbits along the way, including how the name Marrakech is the root of the mother name Morocco. And he is great at teaching you some new Arabic words, slowly and with clear pronunciation. And listen really closely once we get to the Behia Palace, as the call of prayers starts in the background. On our walk today, you will hear some of tourists, big groups in the backgrounds being hustled along. But, like me, you'll have your own private local guide. We'll go at your pace, sidestep the crowds, and take the time to explore everything you need to know. The Melah and the palaces are all just 15 minutes walk from the famous Jemaa el Fna Square, or what we call the Square, at the heart of Marrakech. When you come for a visit, your riad will be one of dozens centrally located in the historic city, within easy walking distance from the famous attractions, diverse souks, and great restaurants. Contact us at Destination Morocco and learn more about how we custom build itineraries and tour packages. Visit our website at destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com, to learn more and book your call today. Our next episode will follow up today's tour with part two of our walking tour, which takes us over through the old Medina and to the Majorelle Gardens. But now, imagine you're standing with me along Rue Bahia Bab el Mellah, the main street connecting the two palaces with the Mellah in between, as Youssef starts his tour amongst the lively energy and excitement of Marrakesh. Welcome back to Destination Morocco podcast. Today we are in Marrakesh, Morocco, and we have a local guide that I'm extremely thrilled and amazed to have him with us today. He's going to be with us for the next 2 days, and he's going to talk a little bit about the Jewish history, a little bit about the Jewish quarter, which we're standing right here. It's sunny in Marrakesh, beautiful. Youssef, welcome to Destination Morocco podcast.
Nice to meet you. Likewise. And welcome to Marrakesh. First of all, my name is Youssef Rahali, because we have so many tour guides called Youssef. Tour guides since 1997, and based only in Marrakesh. We are here in the Mellah, the former Jewish quarter, dating back to the 16th century. A lot of Jews came from Spain after the Inquisition. So in the 16th century, under the Saadian dynasty, one of the kings decided to give them this area for the Jews to live inside. It was a walled quarter.
I see.
And you can see over there, part of the wall. And the gate.
And the gate, okay.
Yeah, we call it Bab el Mellah. Generally speaking, the Mellah was always built near the royal palace.
I see.
In Fez, in Marrakesh, in Rabat, wherever you go. And the first wall is the wall of the Mellah.
Then behind,
there is another wall a little bit higher.
I see.
That's the wall of the 16th century royal palace.
Oh, wow.
That we call El Badia Palace.
El Badia Palace. That
okay?
is incredible.
Because that king, he decided that the Jews live near the royal palace, which means that they were protected by the royal family. So when we talk about the Jews coming from Spain, they are called Sephardic Jews.
Sephardic Jews.
As opposed to the Ashkenazi from the eastern part of Europe.
I see.
Okay. In 1492, that was the fall of Granada.
Yes.
Then there was the Spanish Inquisition. Historically speaking, the Jews came to Morocco even before that.
Oh, yeah.
The first Jews that came to Morocco, it was known by that event, the destruction of the temple.
Yes.
By Titus.
Yeah.
But the Jews, they lived everywhere in Morocco.
Yes.
In the mountains, in the cities at that time. But in the 16th century, that king decided to have them
near the palace. Makes sense.
So it was a walled quarter where they had their synagogues. So until 1950, there were 34 synagogues.
Oh, wow.
A Jewish cemetery. They had their own markets, schools, and restaurants.
I see.
And they live in peace and harmony with the local people.
The locals. Okay.
Badia Palace. Now it's only a ruins.
Yes.
If we have a chance, we can go and visit the ruins of El Badia Palace.
That's exactly what it is.
So the Mellah was divided into two parts. We have the main business part.
Okay. I see.
Which is characterized by these little balconies.
I see.
Because they brought this style with them from Spain.
Yes.
Downstairs, we have the shops. Upstairs, the living homes.
Yeah.
And this is the only quarter where we have the small little balconies.
Yeah, I see.
Then the second part we have from the other side, where there exists still the oldest synagogue, which was founded in 1492. And it is still an active synagogue.
Oh, wow.
By the way, in Marrakesh we have only two synagogues. The oldest one is inside the old Jewish quarter.
Okay.
Then we have the new one, which was built in the new city.
In the new city. Now, the question that I have, Youssef, please, when you say the oldest, you mean the oldest in Marrakesh or the oldest in
the
country?
Talking just Marrakesh. In Marrakesh.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you for that.
And starting from 1950, the Moroccan Jews, they decided to leave.
Yeah.
That was their choice. No
yes.
one told them
yes.
in Morocco to go.
Yes.
Which means that we have now a very small Jewish community.
Community,
it's less than 300, that's all.
A lot of information.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is incredible. So, what else can you tell us, or what else can you tell the visitors, whoever is coming to Marrakesh, whether for a day, 2 days, you want to spend some time? What are some of the must stops?
In Marrakesh, we have so many historical sites. Since the foundation of the city, middle of the 11th century, we have the famous square.
Yes.
We have the Koutoubia Mosque, 12th century. We have Saadian tombs, the old royal cemetery, 16th century. And we have also the most beautiful site. It's called Madrasa Ben Youssef. The old Islamic university, also founded in the 16th century. We have Bahia Palace, where we can admire the beautiful Moorish architecture.
Yes, Moorish architecture.
So it's in the history of Marrakesh that we will know the history of Morocco. In the past, Morocco was known by the name of our city, Marrakesh.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is amazing. It's just, it's incredible. You know, for me, coming back 4 years, I'm really, really speechless because I love the city. This is where I feel I belong. I mean, I've traveled everywhere. I've been so many places. But Marrakesh, not just for me, but a lot of people has a special place in their hearts. So I'm very thrilled that you're here with us and share your extended knowledge and wisdom with us, with the audience. A lot of people appreciate, and I do appreciate as well. I see there's a lot of Jewish people that are coming from Israel.
Yes,
they love Morocco.
Yeah,
they're Moroccan, you know, second generation, third generation, 2022, 2023, about 200,000 Jews from Israel will come and visit Morocco. Have you seen some of that flow, people from Israel visiting Morocco, and how was that experience for them? How was the Moroccan community welcoming? How is that whole experience from A to Z, please?
Jews from all over the world, they are welcome in Marrakesh, in Morocco in general. But the Moroccan Jews, they felt something.
It's that, the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, never
that only themselves, they can express it. And recently, after, you know, 2 years of
pandemic.
COVID.
Yes, yes.
So now we see a lot of Israeli tourists come in. By groups, individual, etc.
Okay, thank you. This concludes our little section about the Millah, the Jewish quarter, and stay tuned for more. Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Good afternoon. We are in another location, still in Marrakesh, the beautiful red city of Marrakesh. And right now we are at the Bedia Palace. And again, we have Mr. Youssef with us, and he's going to give us a little bit of history, a little bit of information that is going to be extremely valuable to the listeners. So, Mr. Youssef.
Close your eyes and imagine the warm desert breeze kissing your skin as you wander through the narrow streets of Marrakesh. Feel the excitement as you lose yourself to the vibrant colors of the souks, where every corner holds a treasure waiting to be discovered. Experience the thrill of adventure as you traverse the majestic Sahara Desert on camelback, with nothing but endless dunes stretching before you. experience Morocco, feel alive. Get 15% off all small group tours. Visit our website, destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. Use the word 15 as a discount code at checkout and reserve your spot today.
Welcome again. Now we are inside one of the oldest monuments in Marrakesh, the ruins of El Badia Palace, built in the 16th century between 1578 and it was finished in 1603, which means more than 28 years to build this palace. El Badia, it's an Arabic word.
What does it mean?
It means the marvelous, the incomparable, because the Saadian king, the famous one, Ahmed al-Mansur al-Dahabi, he decided to build this palace immediately after winning the battle of the three kings against the Portuguese. That's why he was called Al-Mansur, the victorious.
So the three kings was Portuguese?
No, the Portuguese king, Don Sebastian, and two Moroccan kings who were fighting again, who had the right to rule. Ahmed was just a simple soldier, but he was able to win this battle. Then he was declared the king. So the three kings died in this battle. Even it is said that Don Sebastian, they never found his body. So to celebrate this victory, he decided to build this palace.
It's incredible.
A lot of things were brought from outside Morocco, like the marble from Carrara, from Italy, like the onyx from India. Gold from Timbuktu, crystal again from Venezia, from Italy. So the whole palace is more than 18 acres, more than 360 rooms, living quarters of the guests. There are four main pavilions. One is called the Green Pavilion. It was totally decorated with green tiles. Another pavilion was called the Pavilion of the 50 Columns, 50 marble columns.
50.
Yes. The Crystal Pavilion. Imagine this, a pavilion made of crystal in the 16th century. Then, of course, we have the pavilion which is called Khayzuran. That was the name of his wife.
Khayzuran.
Incredible. Unfortunately, now it's only a ruins because it was destroyed in the end of the 17th century by the Alawite king Moulay Ismail. In fact, he didn't destroy it, but he decided to take everything from this palace in order to build his palace in Meknes. And for this, he needed 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
So I'll tell you something, because from time to time, the king Ahmed visited the palace to see how the works were going on. And one day he was with his what you call the jester, and he asked him, "What do you think of my palace?" And the jester answered, "It's going to be a very beautiful ruins."
Oh my goodness.
And he was right. Now it's a beautiful ruins, the old Saadian tombs, and especially the burial room of the kings. It's exactly the same type of architecture. We still have it in that room, because luckily the tombs were not destroyed.
Yes.
So it's the same type of architecture.
Okay.
Which that means that if one visits the ruins of El Badia Palace, he should go and visit the tombs.
It's an extension.
Yes.
It's a must.
Yeah. Yes.
I remember as a kid, I visited the Saadian tombs as a kid. I still remember but I've never been here. So this
will be an opportunity also to visit them, inshallah.
So this is really, really amazing. I mean, it's just a lot of history, and I remember reading in our history what happened with, you know, King Mullah Ismail, and that he took most of everything, which is not really fair, but Meknes is one of the imperial cities as well.
Exactly, it's the fourth imperial city in Morocco.
Absolutely. What else can you tell the visitors, please?
Concerning the Badia Palace, one of the oldest exhibited things inside the Badia Palace is what we call the Al-Minbar, the pulpit chair, which has more than 1,000 years old.
Oh, wow.
But sometimes they don't allow people to take pictures or videos. So, but if one wants to see it, it's possible.
Okay, we'll try our luck.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yalla. Now we are inside the Bahia Palace. Bahia Palace was founded in the middle of the 19th century by the Grand Vizier Ahmed bin Musa, the Grand Vizier. That was the title that was given to the king's advisor.
I see.
The king was only a boy, 15 years old, which means that he had no power. So the Grand Vizier who had the power. And he succeeded to build a huge palace. It's more than 8 hectares.
Oh, wow, 8 acres.
Yeah, roughly it's about 18 acres.
Wow.
5 hectares gardens, 3 hectares buildings. And it took more than 16 years to build it.
Oh, wow.
Then he decided to call it Bahia. Bahia was the name of his favorite wife.
Oh, wow.
Because he had 4 wives and 24 concubines. So today we're going to visit only 5 different quarters and 1 garden. Because the rest is closed, it's not visited at all. We start from the administrative quarter. And we have the waiting rooms. 3 waiting rooms. Why 3 waiting rooms? Because of the 3 communities at that time. Berbers, Arabs, and Jews. And by the way, we are in the waiting room for the Jewish community.
Yeah.
Where you can see,
I can see it.
The David star.
Yeah, I see it here.
And the first quarter is characterized by this little courtyard that we call in Arabic Riyadh. This is the main characteristic of old houses inside the Medina. There is always a courtyard, is to keep the building a little bit cooler. So concerning the architecture, that's what we call the Moorish architecture. Like what we can see in southern part of Spain, in Granada, Cordoba, Alhambra. This is the Alhambra of Morocco.
That's incredible. Actually, this is extremely busy. I mean, I see tourists everywhere. It's just unbelievable. This is it always this busy, or we came at a busy time? Or?
No, normally June in Marrakesh is the end of the season.
Yeah, it's quiet.
But this year we have so many tourists, and it's even more than before COVID.
Okay, so the numbers are even better than before what it was back before the coronavirus.
Exactly.
Impressive.
So if you don't mind, we're going to talk a little bit about the Moorish architecture, where we can see 3 main elements. First, the mosaics, the tiles, which were put piece by piece, everything by hands. We have what we call the stucco. Moroccan stucco is a mixture of plaster, marble powder, and egg white.
Egg white.
They put first a block, they draw the motifs, then they start chiseling on the place.
Wow, so everything is done
in situ, as we say.
Versus made somewhere then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then we have the third element is the wood.
The wood, yes.
The wood, you can see ceilings, doors, windows.
Oh, wow.
These are all made of cedar wood.
Cedar wood.
Cedar wood, why? Because first we have the Atlas Mountains.
Yes.
Middle Atlas, where we have the biggest cedar forest.
This is interesting.
It's used because it's long-lasting, gives a good smell, and then termites, bugs, they don't like it. And it's painted.
Yeah, I see it.
You will see that each room has a different design. And painted using just natural dyes.
Wow.
They were first painted down, then put up later, piece by piece.
Is there a reasoning why each room is different and separate and has its own design?
Wow. This is to show the skills of the artisans.
So they just want to show off.
And also the Grand Vizier brought the best artisans from all over Morocco.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Not only from Marrakech, but from all over Moroccan cities. Now, if you don't mind, we're going to see the reception room.
Yes, I will follow your lead.
Yeah. Now we are inside the living quarter of the three wives. There are three different rooms. Each room is different from the other in the size and in the architecture. And of course, Bahia, the favorite wife, had her own apartment.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so we can have a look inside. And I would like to tell you something about the Moorish architecture.
Yeah, I see it, yes. Oh, wow, that's very impressive.
It was influenced by the Islamic art. So it's forbidden to draw humans or animals.
I see.
What we can see, just floral decorations, geometric, like in the art of the tiles.
Yes.
And also we have what we call the Arabic calligraphy.
Calligraphy, yes.
The Arabic calligraphy is at the bottom.
Yeah.
Sometimes the two famous words, and they are repeated in the whole palace. These two words are in Arabic, we say Al-Afiya, which means health. Al-Baqiya, everlasting. Everlasting health.
Amazing.
So each room is different from the other.
I can see the difference. Yes. Even in the
different
size,
ceilings.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the colors, as I told you before, these are all natural dyes, like poppy flower for the red, the wild almonds for green, yellow is saffron, henna is orange, pomegranate skin, etc. We have also mineral dyes. Like indigo, like cobalt, like antimony. And these are all natural. Okay?
This is impressive.
Now, after the living quarter of the wives, we're going to the living quarter of the concubines.
So we're just walking to the next stop, and oh my gosh, this is Yusuf.
So another beautiful room.
Please enlighten us.
Just here we have a ceiling.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a boat, but upside down. Mm. Why? It's to keep the room a little bit cooler. And the ceilings, they were first painted down, then fixed up. Later, piece by piece, panel by panel,
wow.
Put together.
So let me just say that again. So basically, what you're saying is, the ceiling is in a shape of a boat, and it was made on the ground, then piece by piece mounted into the ceiling wall.
Exactly.
That's incredible. Wow.
I see. And just to explain something, when there is a warm air coming inside. So it finds space up.
I see.
Then it comes down a little bit cooler.
Wow.
Natural air conditioning.
That is.
And something also very important, the thickness of the walls.
Ah,
so that helps the room a little bit cooler.
So the thickness of the wall, it looks like it's about 1 meter.
Exactly.
Thick. So it's really, really hard for, you know, when the place is cold, it's very hard for it to be hot. And stay hot. What else can you share with us, please, Yusuf? This is beyond impressive.
This room, for example, we have what you call symmetrical, because if you look at this side, each motif is repeated in the other side. It's like a mirror image,
Oh, wow.
Or symmetrical. also very important in the Islamic architecture.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is if you cut the room in half, split it in half, one side will match the exact
exactly.
One. It's like a mirror.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Incredible.
So through this room we can go to the concubines quarter, another beautiful section in the palace, the biggest courtyard in the whole palace.
That sounds amazing. And I'm just going to follow Mr. Youssef. I can't wait. This is incredible. So we're just walking to the next stop. The heat outside is probably about 100 degrees, but you don't really feel it being inside. It feels really, really cool and breezy. Wow. Oh my God. I've seen this in pictures thousands of times. The inside, and I'm standing right in the middle of it. This is beyond impressive. It's just incredible.
So let me,
Youssef, please excuse me. Give me just a moment. I'm taking this site in because this is my first time being here, like I said, in 4 years. This place, I don't remember visiting this place, even as a child. But I've seen it in pictures thousands of times in different angles, different areas. But being here live in front of it, it just, WAV doesn't even do justice.
So this is the biggest courtyard in the Bahia Palace, or what we call the concubines quarter. We have 12 rooms, two per room, which means 12 rooms, 24 concubines. Wow. Each room is different from the other, okay?
From the inside.
From the inside. The decoration also. By the way, the courtyard was used as a sit-in of a lot of movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. To say only one is Charlie Wilson's War.
Yes.
Tom Hanks.
I remember. Yes, with Julia Roberts.
Exactly. Yeah. And the courtyard is also used in Marrakesh. We celebrate the Spring Festival.
Yes.
And there is a show here for 3 nights. Music, traditional music, of course. The area behind, that's the one which is not visited at all.
So the area behind, it looks like it's under construction. Is it visible to the public? It's never visited by the public.
Okay. Yeah, just the biggest room in the Bahia Palace is that one.
Yeah,
now it's closed for some renovation.
Renovation, okay.
Yeah. And in the corner, for example, we have a small hammam.
Hammam, oh my God.
It's a kind of steam bath.
Steam
that
bath.
The concubines could use
yes.
without going outside
yes.
the palace.
Yes, and I just want to mention just something else. If I could, please, Youssef, the hammam or the
steam bath. It's like a sauna.
Yeah, it's really, really common in the old days to have your own instead of going and using the public one, which is each neighborhood has normally one. So this is part of, you know, has a little bit more privacy. It's a private and, you know, this is beyond luxury. Youssef, this is amazing. Thank you for sharing this with the audience.
So let's have a look inside one of the concubines rooms, just to have an idea.
So let me just double check. You said the concubines, there were 24 of them.
24.
So that gives you said two per room. So there's 12 of them, and now we are in the middle of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
You can see also the beauty of the the concubines room.
Yeah.
Different ceiling.
Yes.
Different motifs.
Wow. The other thing that you notice, I know it's really, really hot outside, Youssef, and this is, it's not done by mistake, definitely, but there's a lot of mathematics and there's a lot of physics involved in this, and it's a really cool room. You don't need air conditioning here. And again, like I said, the temperature outside is close to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, but here it doesn't feel it.
In this room, because among the concubines, there were some that he liked more.
Oh, I see.
So they were given the best, the most beautiful rooms. You can even see a lovely view on the gardens.
In some rooms, we have like closets.
Closet,
personal
wow.
things. Okay.
Yeah.
Then in this corner, this is something where concubines could put their dirty clothes.
Oh, I see.
They close, then it's collected from outside.
From outside.
So because the servants,
yes,
they were male servants, they were not allowed to see them.
Oh, I see. So basically this is like it's really an advanced way of dry cleaning your clothes, because they don't want to be seen by men but by the outside. But this gives them that opportunity that they can put their laundry and somebody else from the other side opens a different door, and they'll have access to that laundry and they'll get it done.
Now we're going to the only garden that we can visit.
I see.
Then we will finish in the private apartment of the favorite wife.
Bahia.
Bahia.
My goodness. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I'm following you.
Things that visitors, they don't pay attention to, is what you see here.
Oh, wow. This little opening, this right here, in the bottom, at the bottom.
For cats.
Oh, my God. This is how the cats get in and out. Oh, wow.
And another interesting detail, if you look with me just at this, where you can see the David star.
I see the star of
the crescent.
Yes, I see
that. That again shows us
coexistence
that was between the Muslims and the Moroccan Jews.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can see it throughout the city. You can see it throughout all scriptures. You can see it through the old designs. And this is just beyond incredible. I'm looking at the ceiling and it's just...
beautiful garden,
yeah,
which is another characteristic of the Moorish architecture. We find them in the palaces. We have a lot of types of trees,
yeah,
some for the fruits, some for the smells. Mm. The big ones, of course, are for the shade. Fountains everywhere for the irrigation of the garden,
yes,
sometimes just to hear the flowing of the water. Then in this section, we have two beautiful rooms. This one was used as a small prayer hall,
a mosque.
The other one, which is unfortunately now closed, that was the Quranic school for his children.
Okay.
So we can have a look inside. It's another beautiful room. So the fountain here is used for the ritual ablutions. Yeah. Then this is the only section where you can see the stained glass windows.
Mm, I see that.
So when there is sunshine, all these colors are reflected
inside. Beautiful, beautiful.
And so of course, the most important thing inside the mosque is what we call the prayer niche. This is to show us the right direction to Mecca. To prayers.
Okay.
Richly decorated from bottom to the top. With a lot of verses from the Quran.
The Quran, I see that. Yes, yes. I recognize a lot of... Wow. Wow. I look at the ceiling, and it's the same thing that I'm noticing, you know. Everything is matching. Everything is perfect. From the left to the right, from the right to the left, from the top to the bottom. I'm really dissecting everything that I'm seeing right now. And I'm very grateful to be here, so...
Now we're going to finish the visit of the Bahia Palace, the private apartment. The whole palace was named after the favorite wife, Bahia, or as we say in Arabic, Al-Bahia, which means the brilliant.
I feel the shade. Can you tell us a little bit about, I see a variety of trees.
Here we have even a flower of the banana tree.
Yes.
Here is the grapefruit.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
The private apartment of the Bahia is divided into two rooms. Of course, she had her bedroom. There is another one smaller, just to rest. Then in the middle, we have a place for the entertainment.
Okay,
but it was very private.
Yes, yes.
Only
the guests and everything.
And this is why the Grand Vizier accepted only the blind musicians to be in this section.
Only the blind musicians.
Yes. Because they were not made blind, but...
Okay, so that's good news.
Blind they were by birth, by accidents.
So they're naturally blind.
Yes.
He didn't make
yes.
them blind.
Yeah.
So they won't see the beauty of Lalabahia.
Exactly.
Incredible.
And also, very important, the beauty of the palace.
The palace, yeah. The palace is just, this is just incredible. It's just, wow. The colors, the way they fit together, the way that they are put together, the way they match everything, it's just, wow. Okay.
So I hope that you have enjoyed the tour of the Bahia Palace.
Yusuf, you have no idea. I loved it. This is incredible. This is why we do what we do. We do this for our guests. We do this for our listeners because we want to give them an experience that nobody else can give them. So I am very grateful to be here today. We're very fortunate to have you with us today.
You're welcome.
Your knowledge, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Wow. So this concludes our episode today. We did a little bit of the Jewish quarter earlier, and now we just did and finished the Bahia Palace, the one and only Bahia Palace. So if you are visiting Marrakesh, whether for a day or 2 days, 3 days, this is one of the must-stop places. You have to stop. And we're very fortunate that they gave us the opportunity to film everything, to record everything without any hassle, and we appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you.
You have traveled the world, but Morocco's allure beckons you. Destination Morocco is here to create the perfect once-in-a-lifetime Moroccan journey, tailored exclusively to your desires. Let us craft an itinerary that unlocks the secrets of this mesmerizing land just for you. For a luxurious, bespoke Moroccan adventure of a lifetime, visit destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. And let us turn your dreams into reality. Your amazing Moroccan experience awaits.